Welcome to today's EN Essentials training session on Collaboration Plus, connecting the dots to provide a continuum of services. EN Essentials learning events began in 2023 and are designed to support Employment Network staff seeking to enhance both their EN performance and compliance requirements. The learning events build upon the initial EN Service Providers Foundations training and feature new resources, best practices, and other useful information. If this is your first time joining, welcome. If you're returning, thanks for coming back. We appreciate having you. We have a great session lined up for today. This Essentials will feature partnerships and collaborations involving state VR agencies, ENs, and other Ticket to Work stakeholders. We'll describe types of partnership plus models. Our guests will discuss why and how they collaborate for the mutual benefit through either written agreements or informal arrangements, or simply through regular communication and connection with community partners. They will also share how key relationships and braided funding, along with benefits planning, help connect and contribute to ongoing employment success for ticket holders. With the above objectives in mind, let's now turn to our agenda and some logistics. Next slide, please. Okay, here we have our agenda. I will complete the logistics, as I mentioned, and then I'll provide an introduction for our panelists as our guest speakers today. Then I'm going to provide a short overview of Partnership Plus to make sure that we all have the same baseline information. Following that, we will have two presentations from our colleagues from two state VR agencies. I'll introduce them in a moment. And after that, we'll have a panel where our state VR partners will be joined by their EN collaborators. After the panel, I'll review some Partnership Plus activity data, and then we'll have time, of course, for an audience Q&A session and wrap up. Okay, next slide, please. On to the logistics. First, TPM is recording and capturing the transcript from today's meeting and will make it available on the Your Ticket to Work website under the EN Essential Learning Events section. For questions today, please feel free to use the MS Teams chat section. We do ask that you refrain from answering questions in the chat intended for the ticket program manager or Social Security Administration staff. During the Q&A period, you'll also have a chance to ask your questions in real time. We'll provide more guidance on how to do that when we get to that portion. For closed captioning, that is available for participants who join using the MS Teams application or by using the closed caption link provided in the Gov delivery announcement for today's call. Turn on your closed captions in MS Teams. Go to the three ellipses at the top of the MS Teams window, click on the More in that section of the menu, scroll down the list, and choose Language and Speech. Then select or click on Turn on Live Captions. That will get you those automated captions. Or when using the link option, this link has been provided in chat as well. Paste the link in the browser, and it will open a separate window to view those closed captions. The choice is yours. Finally, per your ticket program agreement, Part 3, Section 11, Subsection I, EN staff are not permitted to record this meeting nor capture the transcript. We will, though, as I mentioned, provide the transcript and a recap along with the materials on our training section of the Your Ticket to Work website in the near future. Okay, thanks. Let's go to the next slide. Again, my name is Derek Shields. I serve as the Senior EN Development and Training Manager for the Ticket Program Manager, and more importantly today, I'm serving as our Essentials Moderator. We'll be joined by both presenters and our panelists. From Pennsylvania, we have Jennifer Raddick. Jennifer is a Vocational Rehabilitation Specialist with Pennsylvania's Office of Vocational Rehabilitation. Jennifer will be joined by Karen Price, a program manager of AHEAD, an employment network located in Pennsylvania. And Jennifer and Karen will be joined by their colleagues from Illinois. We have Teresa Rodriguez with us. Teresa is the bureau chief for the Illinois Division of Rehabilitation Services. And Tracer's joined by Hannah Schoenberg, a ticket to work manager with Ramp Employment Services located in Illinois. And we're excited to have them. Prior to doing that, though, as I mentioned with our agenda, I wanted to go over a few pointers about Partnership Plus. Let's move to the next slide, please. So I'm going to provide an overview, and that will begin with the next slide, actually. To start, let's revisit the purpose of Partnership Plus. Perhaps some of you are familiar, or others, this is new. But the purpose of it is to make connections to provide a continuing of services. And while this new framework became available back in July of 2008, perhaps some of you have experienced it or others haven't, it has a dual support mission. Here, state VR agencies provide more intensive upfront services to help beneficiaries enter or return to work. And that second part is where the ENs come in to provide longer-term supports to help beneficiaries stay at work, those job retention strategies and supports. So with that general premise in mind, let's go to the next slide. Partnership Plus was added to strengthen collaboration between VR agencies and ENs, which would, of course, lead to improved long-term outcomes. Those outcomes would be for beneficiaries, and that means that we would have more employment outcomes and more self-sufficiency, more financial self-sufficiency for those beneficiaries. This encourages both state VR and EN collaboration. Looking at VR and EN, that they can both receive payments for serving the same ticket holder, although they must be sequential services, and that the ticket cannot be in use with the VR and assigned to the EN at the same time. And importantly, collaboration can be done in different ways. This can be informal or formal. Formal meaning a more written agreement with the state and the ENs that are participating. So with that in mind, it's important to think about the wins this outlined, going back to July 2008, what communities would come out ahead. And on this slide, we'll look at how the ticket holders win. Of course, they win when they receive those free continued services to support long-term employment success. And this can include a variety of areas. We have three listed here. Those follow-along services to maintain employment, the additional training or career counseling to advance employment, and of course, benefits counseling and support as disability benefits are ending. So a navigator through that process from the benefits counseling. So these, all of them being great job retention supports later in the transition to full-time employment. Of course, they also receive continued protection from medical continuing disability reviews, those CDRs. And to do that, the ticket must be reassigned to an EN within 90 days of VR case closure, but a significant incentive there. And we have a great resource link that's available for you, and this is would also be in chat. And this is working with an EN after VR services have ended and really defines more or less the value proposition for ticket holders in doing this continuum of support. All right, that's the ticket holders win. Let's go to the next slide and look at how VR agencies win through Partnership Plus. They win as they receive cost reimbursement for ticket holders who achieve 9 months within a 12-month period of substantial gainful activity earnings. This can, of course, reduce the number of ticket holders returning to the VR agency for additional services, and VR may refer ticket holders, of course, to those ENs. That could happen when they need less intensive services, or importantly, when the VR as an organization is under an order of selection, where ticket holders as beneficiaries of Social Security are waitlisted. And this could be a service solution when they might not be able to be offered those services through VR. So some great wins for the VR agency there. All right, let's go to that third win now. And third, we look at how employment networks win. And they do that when they receive the phase zone milestone and outcome payments when a ticket holder achieves and maintains those SGA earnings. And that's a pretty significant opportunity. and the ANs can work with ticket holders at different points in the employment process. We mention those and list a few of them here. ANs that are VR vendors can work with the ticket holder while the VR case is open. So you have kind of an EN and VR vendor model. You can do this as an EN after VR case closure and within that 90-day reassignment. And then at the beginning of a ticket holder's employment process, when their needs are less intensive, VRs may refer those ticket holders to ENs. So a great opportunity here for ENs to win through those VR relationships. And of course, those job retention services do also support the long-term employment outcomes of the ticket holder themselves. So there we've reviewed the three different ways to win for ticket holders, for VRs, and ENs through Partnership Plus. Let's go to the next slide. We have two more slides, and then we're going to turn to our guests. We just wanted to revisit how Partnership Plus works through different arrangements. I mentioned we have kind of informal and formal models. We want to just describe those for you if you weren't familiar with them. First, you know, for formal relationships, these can be written agreements, and these have been used since back in 2008 by a variety of states, and in some cases refreshed more recently, or we even have some new states written agreements out there too. These written agreements really, you know, a form of a contract between the participating entities, describe details and processes for how they're going to work together and some of the typical requirements. And here we have some listed. Require the VR staff to inform ticket holders about the ticket program and the availability of ENs, and really the services and supports that ENs can offer after VR services. Next, facilitate the sharing of ticket holder information between ENs and VRs. This could happen in a variety of situations. I mentioned order of selection. It could also be one where through communication and collaboration can target how an EN may be more suitable, or in some cases when an EN is doing intake, could redirect that ticket holder to a VR for more intensive services. Outline specific referral procedures, so it's a known process, and each can support and connect in to share appropriate data and pick up for that next phase. And last, specify how ticket holders will be provided benefits counseling services, and that can't be underestimated. And later on, we'll look at some of the data that's behind the success of providing benefits counseling services in Partnership Plus arrangements. And last, this may require a lengthy legal approval process by the state agency because it's more of a formal process, of course. All right, now let's go to the next slide. And here we have the informal relationships. We're on types of Partnership Plus relationships. Let me just take a sip here. Here we can look at collaboration can occur in a variety of ways. We have three main ways. There's EN as a VR vendor relationship. This is where the EN acts as a VR vendor to provide services or establishes the relationship with the ticket holder and can continue that service after the VR case closure as the EN. In effect, perhaps a way to look at that is an EN serving as both with the VR and Social Security on each side of the service fence. You can have a handshake referral process. This is an informal process document that outlines how to work together. And this minimizes that legal agreement process or perhaps lengthy review and allows the collaboration to get to the heart of service without the review. And last, marketing and communication. Here we see ENs and VR agencies meeting on a regular basis to discuss strategies to work together. This is a fascinating way to drive focus to employment outcomes and not necessarily using the confines of the written agreement and specific procedures. And in that case, the EN can market themselves directly to VR leadership and counselors showcasing really the services and supports the EN can do to assist when the VR is not going to be in a position to provide the exact service. So we have a different list of formal and other types of partnership plus agreements that showcase how collaboration can be done in different ways. And with that, let's go to the next slide, please. At this point, with the collaboration plus connecting the dots, we're going to turn to hear from two VR agencies today. As I mentioned when I first introduced these individuals, we're going to hear from the state of Pennsylvania and also from the state of Illinois. When it comes to the state of Pennsylvania, we're joined by Jennifer Raddick. And Jennifer, I welcome you to turn on your camera at this time.
Sure.
Excellent. I can see you and hear you. This is fantastic. Jennifer is, just a reminder to everyone, is the Vocational Rehabilitation Specialist with the Pennsylvania Office of Vocational Rehabilitation. And I had the pleasure of meeting Jennifer in Baltimore almost 2 years ago and was excited for the path that Jennifer had envisioned. And now we see that unfold in front of us. And we're going to hear a little bit more about that right now from you. Over to you, Jennifer.
Thanks, Derek. So, so I work for the Pennsylvania Office of Vocational Rehabilitation, and I am the Ticket to Work and Benefits Planning Specialist. And at OVR, our mission is to assist Pennsylvanians with disabilities to secure and maintain employment and independence. At OVR, we have a dual customer model. So this means that our customers are people with disabilities who have an impediment to preparing for, attaining, or maintaining employment and independence, and also businesses who hire or may want to hire or retain qualified people with disabilities. So for today's presentation, you know, we were asked to provide information on our philosophy as it relates to OVR, Ticket to Work, and the Partnership Plus service delivery model. So, well, Ticket to Work and Partnership Plus certainly align with our mission, as I just mentioned. And OVR is mostly federally funded with a small state match. And while I'm here representing Pennsylvania and Teresa is here representing Illinois, there is an OVR in every state and U.S. territory. And that's what is referred to as State Vocational Rehabilitation, or SVR. We like to consider OVR as a jobs program for people with disabilities, with the goal and results of successes in competitive integrated work for people with disabilities, and also providing qualified applicants to our other customers, those businesses. Next slide, please. All right, so I want to talk a little more about Pennsylvania's collaboration. In general, the Partnership Plus agreement, for anyone that has a written agreement, highlights the importance of open communication and establishes points of contact for both VR and the employment networks. Pennsylvania OVR had an official Partnership Plus agreement in the past, and then we moved to more of a handshake agreement. So more of that like informal agreement. However, back in April of 2024, we did roll out a new updated Partnership Plus agreement. As Derek had mentioned, you know, it can take time. So we were working on that for quite some time, but it was officially rolled out in April of 2024. And that agreement specifies the conditions under which OVR and the Employment Network will facilitate that provision of sequential services under the Partnership Plus service delivery model. As of today, it has been signed by 7 Pennsylvania employment networks, as well as national and administrative ENs. Our agreement promotes connections with ticket participants at key points in the life of their open case, if you will. So that would be the initial meeting. So we are talking to customers about, you know, ticket and benefits counseling and planning and Partnership Plus at the very beginning, at the initial meeting. Again, we're revisiting that topic at the individualized plan for employment when we're talking to them about their job goal and all the services that, you know, are going to be put on the plan and agreed upon to help them reach that job goal. At employment, so when they secure employment, so just kind of revisiting that again, and making sure that they understand what Partnership Plus is and the supports that they can receive after OVR successful case closure, and then once again at prior or at case closure. So to kind of have a tool for our VRCs, we did develop a document called the Ticket to Work Flyer. And this helps our counselors to identify, or to be reminded, I should say, of those key times to have those conversations with our customers. We also have been providing statewide training for field staff and counselors, on identifying a Partnership Plus candidate, as well as local district office trainings. In addition, we have monthly office hours when we provide updates to staff regarding Partnership Plus handoffs. We recognize that Ticket to Work and the Partnership Plus service delivery model is a way that we can provide continuity of services and continuum of support for our customers, and that is really, really important, as we all know. So the goal of doing all this is to ensure the long-term employment success of Social Security disability beneficiaries who have completed VR services. Next slide, please. Okay, so on this slide, we'd like to share some of our Pennsylvania OVR's initiatives. As with all state VR programs and employment networks, we certainly understand the critical importance of connecting the value of benefits counseling and benefits planning to help ticket holders to make informed decisions. We at OVR provide two ways for our customers to obtain that critical service. So at OVR, we refer to benefits counseling when we are referring a customer to the Ticket to Work helpline, who would then in turn refer to the local WIPA if they meet the WIPA priority categories. We refer to the term benefits planning when we are making a service authorization for an OVR-approved benefits planning provider. If an OVR customer is eligible for WIPA and also meets the WIPA priority categories, then we work with them to be referred to the Ticket to Work program helpline and WIPA, as I mentioned. However, I also mentioned we also have benefits planning provider agreements with vendors and specific benefits planning services. We also know how critical the benefits planning query is to the benefits counseling and planning process. So we have developed a process for field staff to follow when requesting the BPQI. So that, coupled with our great relationships that we have built with the Area Work Incentives Coordinators, or AWICs, for Pennsylvania, if we have not received a requested BPQI within 30 days, we are able to easily and successfully follow up with the AWICs, who can assist us at that time. I also had mentioned on the last slide, we've been working to increase the possibility for a continuity of services and continuum of supports for our customers. So this is a really good opportunity for agencies that are serving as a vendor of VR when a customer's case is open with VR, and then as an EN when the customer's case is closed with VR. So this can come in the form of providers that are serving as vendors for benefits planning, but we also have other OVR provider agreements such as supported employment, our WEXA program, which is called Work Experience for Adults, and our pre-employment transition services programs. So with that, I'm going to hand it back over to Derek.
Thank you so much, Jennifer, for reviewing Pennsylvania OVR, but specifically our initiatives and calling out some of the key values and initiatives that you've had underway. We look forward to having you back in a little bit for our panel with our other colleagues. Now, I'd like to go to the next slide, please. And it's my pleasure to introduce Teresa Rodriguez. I mentioned before, Teresa is the Bureau Chief for the Illinois Division of Rehabilitation Services, and we really enjoyed getting to meet Teresa in the planning for this session. I do understand that we have Teresa available through audio, but her video is not able to work with. Trey, so go ahead and turn on your audio and let's make sure we can hear you clearly.
Thank you very much, Derek. So pleased to be able to join you. I'm saddened that you can't see me, but probably a good thing I won't scare anybody at this point. But so I'll go ahead and start the presentation. Again, so thankful to be able to have been invited to this panel conversation, this panel discussion. I am, as you said, Bureau Chief for the Department of Rehabilitation for the state of Illinois. And we are very new to doing the ticket to work process. It started pretty much in May of this year, an actual reach out to our employee networks. The work actually began back in July of last year, July of 2024, thanks to many efforts of our employee network partners who were advocating in behalf of getting this work done when the legislation was presented and made possible. But thanks to the great efforts of many, many agencies, and especially Hannah, who is going to be speaking shortly after I finish here, her work with that of RAMP made the Ticket to Work program in the state of Illinois possible. So had it not been for her advocacy along with many others, we don't believe that we would have been able to be successful at introducing our process through the state of Illinois. So I want to thank her for her endeavor, which was very productive in making and bringing to fruition our process. In any event, we have a goal, and our goal is to increase the number of clients that we serve and bring and make possible for them to become employed so that they earn a living wage and have them get the opportunity to advance in their livelihood and in their opportunity for work. One of the things that has been able to occur is the introduction of the ticket to work. Next slide, please. In July of 2024, the state of Illinois was able to come together with many employee networks, and that discussion was the beginning of our opportunity to talk about how do we do Partnership Plus. That gave rise to describing and formulating the collaboration, which is now what has transpired to become the Ticket to Work program. It was important for folks to be able to make a program that would give clients the opportunity to have informed decisions and make their own choices. It was important for us to be able to bring the employee networks to the table and engage them so that they could actually be part and parcel of the planning process, especially when it came to being part of the VR program and the process itself. We also learned that it was important to improve the transition to supporting the EM process at the case closure phase. This way it would improve and enhance post-employment success. These were the things that, as a result of our meeting and our discussions and the research that we were able to carry out, we learned. And that was all rolled into how and what became our Ticket to Work program. Next slide, please. That having been said, we carried those phases and that thought process into what we've created as our Ticket to Work program that has been rolled out and actually phased in. We began by creating a program where we began to invite employee network agencies to submit and become vendor agencies or vendor partners. We've asked them to submit their certifications and invited them to become vendor agencies that would be able to perform the benefit specialist analyses for the clients. We asked that they provide this information so we could create a database of vendor agencies to whom we could refer clients through our vendor, through our VR counselors, and that they, if they have clients, could take those clients in and then refer those to our VR counselors as well, so that we would have a network of clients that would then benefit from our VR services. We established the process to conduct the benefit analysis, and we've had several agencies do that. Right now we have well over 15 persons who are actually registered as benefit analyses specialists. We have a waiting list of benefit specialists interested in taking the course through the University Commonwealth of Virginia. We are waiting for them to come up with their roster. And this all started in June. So within a matter of a few weeks, we were able to get a whole host of folks who have expressed an interest in taking the course so that they could get certified. We have also learned that there are several other people who are completing the courses at the University Commonwealth of Virginia. So we're waiting to receive their certifications. And we've been able to get the paperwork for the 15 that are already registered through the Comptroller's Office, through the state of Illinois, set up so that they are actually listed as vendors with the state of Illinois. So once they begin to bill us, they can get paid for their services. That will happen with each of the vendors that will be set up to work in tandem with the state of Illinois Department of Rehab Services. So what we've done is we've done all of the initial work to make everything prepared and set up and established in such a way that it will facilitate the process as we go forward. Our core methodology in doing our work was to look at three core principles. One was to first and foremost increase the number of clients that we could serve so that we would be able to increase the number of clients being able to benefit from employment. Secondly, we wanted to remove the fear factor from these clients so that they would not have to be afraid that if they did in fact secure the employment, many of these clients were afraid or fearful of the fact that if they secured the employment, they would lose their SSA benefits. So we wanted to be able to ensure that the benefits planning sessions would also provide benefits counseling so that they could understand exactly what would take place if they were to be able to secure the work. And if they could also perhaps, if not just full-time employment, perhaps part-time employment. We wanted to be able to ensure that the VR counselors could serve more clients, as I stated earlier, on a statewide basis. We wanted to provide our partner ENs with a new revenue source. That was important to us because we wanted to make sure, since they were transitioning from a C-13 status, that they would have a new place or new source of income to be able to continue the good work that they were doing, and which is the reason why we were inviting them to become vendors with the state. And we, as I stated, were providing the opportunity for them to be able to provide the documentation to show that they are able and certified to do the work as benefit specialists. Next slide, please. For the most part, the work has gone very quickly, very smoothly. There are some learning curves. We're going to do a secondary training on August 5th with our VR counselors. We're tweaking our system to make sure that questions are asked and answered for all of our staff internally. And we're going to re-invite our benefit specialists at the EN level to join our training session. We're always open and available to the internal staff at the DRS, as well as the ENs, to always ask questions either via email or via telephone. We have working group meetings on a weekly basis where we are open to questions and comments and feedback from our working group, and that consists of EN agencies that are already matriculated into our process. And I think that this is the way we continue to enhance the work that we're doing with our partners. I'd like to turn back now at this time to Derek, and thank you for the opportunity to join this discussion.
Of course. Thank you so much, Teresa, for providing your overview and remarks of the work you're leading in Illinois. It's not lost on me that both Jennifer and Teresa bring up themes of collaboration and emphasis, points of emphasis around intersections with benefits counseling. Debbie has commented in chat here, amazing in caps for Teresa. Thank you. And both of these are more recent in timing. Well, you know, since Partnership Plus has been in place, we see with some new perspectives that we're making new models and finding new collaborations. So at this point, what we're going to do is turn, as the slide says, to a panel discussion. And what we'd like to do is to ask Jennifer and Teresa to be with us, but we're also going to bring in our EN partners. And as we drop the slides, we'd like our those colleagues that can to turn on their cameras. We have Karen Price, Program Manager with the EN Ahead, joining us, who has her camera on, and also Hannah Schoenberg, a Ticket to Work Program Manager, or Ticket to Work Manager, sorry, with RAMP Employment Services in EN in Illinois with us, and of course, Teresa is as well. So what we're going to do is start out with some questions for Pennsylvania, and then we'll shift over to Illinois, and then we'll kind of have a potpourri. Then we'll look at some data, and then we'll entertain your questions. In the meantime, if you do have questions, feel free to put them in chat. They might be spurred by a comment or a part of our conversation. But let's start out now with Jennifer. Jennifer, as you reviewed, and we know you're doing a lot of work to promote the continuity of services and supports in this, let's call it trifecta of services for ticket holders served by Pennsylvania VR. Can you please tell us how you're working to facilitate long-term supports for ticket holders served by all the various programs funded by VR or waivers? And you mentioned some of those other collaborators that were key to your portfolio. I'd love for you to get into how does connecting the dots between them remove the obstacles that improve employment outcomes.
Sure. Thanks, Derek. So, yeah, we call it the trifecta. So I guess a little over a year ago, I became a specialist at OVR for supported employment, as well as ticket to work and benefits planning. So that coupled with my background as a provider, I began talking about what we like to call, you know, it's kind of a fun term, the trifecta. So when I say that, I'm referring to a provider that is a supported employment provider, a benefits planning provider, and also an employment network, or even working, you know, as a provider affiliate under an administrative employment network. So supported employment is one of our biggest services in Pennsylvania, and having the ability to provide choices to our customers when it comes to supported employment and benefits planning, it really makes sense for them, and it aligns with the continuity of services and the continuum of support that we strive for here in Pennsylvania. So a customer with informed choice can receive supported employment and benefits planning from the same provider. And then once their case is closed successful, can continue to work with that provider who was serving in a role, like a vendor role at that time when the case was open. And they can then work with them as an employment network under a Partnership Plus service delivery model. So there's no gaps in services, no getting to know new staff potentially, just really continuing on with their progress on their journey. So with regards to connecting the dots with other agencies, we've been working to identify how other ways agencies are able to provide supported employment services, specifically as it relates to, for example, the Office of Developmental Programs, or ODP in Pennsylvania, the Office of Long-Term Living, OLTL, County Mental Health, and of course, maybe as an employment network or, as I previously mentioned, under partnership with an administrative employment network. So, you know, we're just really trying to kind of identify our supported employment providers that are also able to provide supported employment services and long-term supports under, you know, some other agencies, including Partnership Plus and SSA TPM. Finally, for VR vendors that may only be, for example, a supported employment provider or a WEXA provider or even a PRIETS provider, these are all opportunities for them to consider becoming an employment network or partnering with an administrative EN so that they can continue to provide long-term supports to the individuals that they were working with upon VR successful case closure.
Thanks, Jennifer. I'm taking notes over here on the acronyms. Thanks for spelling those out for us. Every state has different programs that are similar, and yes, your suggestion of understanding where those are and how to bring the trifecta together obviously will improve outcomes, as you've described it. A follow-up for you there about Pennsylvania ENs. I think you mentioned you've had seven a line on your slide since you started the Partnership Plus kind of refresh, I might put it, in Pennsylvania a couple of years or a year and a half ago. How are you working to identify ENs, with ENs, to identify candidates for participation?
Sure. Well, of course, we have our Ticket to Work flyer, which is really just a tool for our counselors. And that came about after, you know, lots of training and this process in terms of making sure our field understands what Partnership Plus is and how it can benefit our customers. So we have been providing statewide training for field staff on identifying a Partnership Plus candidate, as well as that local district office training. So we have 21 offices and going to the local staff meetings or being asked to come in just to do Partnership Plus trainings. I do that all the time. And then also we, you know, again, I mentioned we do our monthly office hours where we provide updates on the Partnership Plus process and then, and also sharing success stories. These are happening more and more frequently so that VRCs understand just how important Partnership Plus is and how it is a long-term support for our shared customers. We've been working on some ad hoc reports to pull data as well. And, you know, I have found that while we have some of these ad hoc reports, the key really is training. Key is training so that staff understand the benefits to our customers that Partnership Plus has and that long-term support that it can provide them. So we have been identifying success stories and sharing them with the field, which is always very, very encouraging. We meet quarterly with TPM as well. We also have some of our ENs are also benefits planning providers or vendors, and we meet every other month with them. And of course, and this is probably one of the most important kind of aspects to this outside of having our field staff understand the importance of Partnership Plus is just continuing to build upon our relationships with our wonderful ENs for continued communication and collaboration. I know one of those ENs, Karen Price from Ahead, she's joining us today. So Karen, how do you promote Partnership Plus and identify candidates with your agency?
Sure. Thanks, Jennifer. And thanks, Derek, for inviting me today. So Ahead is a vendor under OVR. We provide supported employment, and we also are a vendor to provide benefits counseling to OVR referrals. So we identify candidates a couple ways. When we do an intake with a new VR referral, we are asking about Social Security benefits. We also use the portal to confirm their ticket status. And if the ticket, you know, at that point is usually assigned to VR. I use the portal regularly to upload our VR caseload to to again identify who has a ticket, who can we be targeting for Partnership Plus down the road. I divide that out by our staff, so each staff person can be promoting that message. We have trained our staff to talk about Partnership Plus at the key touch points I think Jennifer's already talked about, but that is at intake, at placement, so when they get a job, and then when their case is closed with VR. After a case is closed with VR, I keep tabs on their portal status to see when the ticket has been unassigned from VR. I also work closely with Jennifer to identify those candidates that are going to be good Partnership Plus referrals. She is very helpful at working with her staff to close cases and unassigned tickets when they are ready. And then I work with my staff on my end to get those IWPs completed within the 90 days so we can make that successful handoff.
Nice. Thanks for going into that. And I mean, both of you are obviously increasing awareness of Partnership Plus and different places to get different services at different points in this continuum. And I think, you know, that joint effort allows for more participation for sure. Karen, let's stick with you. I want to follow up to get a couple examples of Partnership Plus like situations. We could call one formal and perhaps one informal. The formal one being more from an agreement with your approach with Pennsylvania OVR, but the second one maybe is identified outside of that. Maybe you identify a ticket holder from another relationship, more of that broader braided funding that you as an EN might have. Can you give us a couple examples?
Yes. So for that formal handoff, I have an example of somebody who ahead was not a vendor for this person when their case was active with OVR. Benefits counseling had been provided, but they were referred through the Ticket to Work helpline, and WIPA provided that service. So OVR provided the support for her when she started her job. And she was successfully employed full-time hours, 40 hours a week, $25 an hour. So she was working over SGA in a clerical position. She's a property manager with a local company. So OVR closed her case as a success, and she chose to assign her ticket to ahead to continue with that follow along service that we can provide under Partnership Plus. So ahead was able to complete the IWP, and we follow up with her regularly just to monitor her progress at her job and then to answer any benefits related questions that she has in regard to her SSDI. And just as a courtesy, we still provide progress reports to OVR on her case quarterly, just so that they are aware of her continued success. And then in terms of an informal hands-off, we have a gentleman that Ahead had been involved with since the beginning. He had originally been referred for work incentive counseling, which Ahead provided, and also community-based work assessments, which Ahead provided. It was then determined that he was going to go into employment, and Ahead was able to place him at a local grocery store. He is a direct shopper for online ordering, and Ahead provided the job coaching for that job. He is working part-time at the grocery store, and he is currently under SGA, but he's still a success. He's been working there for quite a while, so OVR closed his case, and his ticket was then assigned to Ahead. So Ahed's role in this is to help get him to that self-sufficiency to SGA. So we are working with him to explore other opportunities within the grocery store, looking at maybe different promotions that he can apply to so that he can gain more hours and then increase his earnings with that. And again, Ahed keeps quarterly reports. We send those to OVR just to inform them of his success and where he's at in the process.
I love the examples, Karen. Thanks. And thanks for you and your staff for the work that you're doing. A clear partnership plus kind of handoff arrangement, clerical full-time work, and a great success story. And then on the other side, developing some new goals to move from part-time to full-time employment and exploring what those not just retention support services look like, but also advancement support services. And I love that, the idea of it's not just a job, but it's a career. And this individual you're serving is now under an informal arrangement that makes that possible. It's fantastic. So thank you to Pennsylvania. We'll be back in a second. I want to flip over to our colleagues from Illinois and chat with Teresa and Hannah for a moment here. So when we think about all this work, I had the chance to meet Teresa, and it dawned on me that she hadn't been in this role so long. And I was quite amazed by some of the progress that you were making in a short time. Tracy, can you tell us, you know, how you got into your role at the Illinois VR agency and how you learned about the ticket program?
Sure. I came to this program as an opportunity that presented itself. I have a background in finance and admin in government for well over 25 years because I started when I was 5 years old. No, I'm just kidding. I wish I was that young. But this opportunity came to be. I had finished my career in government, and I had also worked a great deal in not-for-profits. And then about a good 12 years ago, I became disabled. And when I saw the opportunity of this position opening up, I decided to apply. And I wanted to see if I, as a person who was disabled, could do some wonderful work that could help individuals, because I became disabled and I didn't know, even though I was a government employee, having worked for city government for many years, I was unaware of a lot of the services that were available to me. And I thought that I could do a great deal to help others become aware of what was available to individuals, and that even though I was a woman who had worked in government, felt that I was pretty intelligent and pretty articulate, I might be able to do a lot more that could help. And having also being a person who happens to be Hispanic, I felt the need was also strong for people who were of a Latino origin. It would be doubly beneficial because I could do a lot more to help individuals in that regard. And I found myself working with a director who was very committed to being able to make available resources and information to that regard. This position allowed me to be able to do that, to be able to make information available to individuals. When she heard my story after I had been given the job, she said, "You are the perfect person for this position because you have that commitment and that energy and that desire to want to make people aware." And that's exactly what this position is about. So she has pretty much let me take the reins and said, go out there and let people know what we're about. Help them understand the services that DRS has. And she's given me a great amount of information. She realized that I was a person who's very quick to learn and a quick study. There were many things that I could relate to as being a person who was disabled that I felt I could quickly share and impart. My staff were and are very, very committed, and they have so many wonderful ideas about being able to share the information. We've gone in and updated the media that we use, whether it's online, our materials, our brochures. We actually have a three-part series on information about DRS coming up. The first webinar that's going to be offered is on the 15th. There are two series. One is in English and one is in Spanish. Both are being offered with an American Sign Language interpreter. And it's going to describe exactly an overview of DRS and the services that we provide. The second, we'll talk about additional information about the VR program and all the services that are being provided through the VR program. And the third, we'll have a combination of information regarding what a person can expect to find, employment opportunities, and so much more. So it really is a good snapshot of DRS and everything that DRS provides. And we're doing that because what we realized is we've gone through some changes internally. We restructured our organization, and we want people to know. At last count, we have well over 100 agencies registered to take this training, and they're going to participate in all three segments. And we welcome all to join us because it's really something that we feel will be well worth taking. And these are partners that are with us working and those that have not yet joined us as partners. And we've asked everyone to spread the word. We've developed QR codes for folks to become aware of DRS services. And this is just a bit of information that we're sharing. We go to events and we partner with a lot of agencies that we have not partnered with before. Matter of fact, yesterday we were at the Chicago Public Library, Harold Washington Center on State in Chicago as a partnership with their accessibility group, giving out information to patrons at the library about information that the DRS does in terms of our services to the community. And we're going to do that for the next couple of weeks. We are consistently opening up partnerships throughout the city, throughout the state itself. And we travel. My staff and I travel all over the state because we want people to know who we are and what we do. And we meet agencies who have become new partners with us because we want people to know who we are and what we do. And every time we meet new agencies, they become new partners. And we are setting up new ways to connect with them. We learn about the agency. We learn about ways we can connect and how we can work together to refer patients or find out ways that they can work with us so they can refer their clients to us. And we can work together to help their clients either place them in employment opportunities or if they have needs for their clients that DRS can perhaps meet. So it's becoming a two-way flowing of information and flowing of resources for these clients that they have. And it's something like I walk away with my staff and my staff are so excited about the new ventures that we have. We've met and worked with so many new employers that we hadn't touched before to find new ways of getting opportunities for our clients. And this is what it's about. Finding new ways and talking to businesses and saying, you're going to get credits for helping us. But at the same time, it's not just about the tax credit. It's about you are impacting the lives of these clients who have so much to offer you. And you know what? These clients will impact your life in a very positive way as well. And we've had so many wonderful experiences that these clients have shared with us that the actual employer has said, my God, this client that you sent me, fabulous worker. And, you know, these are the stories that we take and we quote in our brochures and we share with people because they never had a disabled person work with them. And all of a sudden now they're saying, I wish I had more. Can you send me more employees that may have this situation? They may be disabled. So we're creating new avenues for opportunities for folks to work with disabled people because they're realizing they're not going to be a problem. They're going to be a great opportunity and a good partnership for them as well. So we are out there telling our story, and that's what we're all about. We're out there to tell the story that even though we're disabled, that doesn't mean we're a lesser person. It means we still have a lot to offer. And that's what I keep telling. When I was told that I became disabled and I was told I'd never work again, I said, you're wrong, and I'm going to prove that you're wrong. And I'm here to tell people that story. You're wrong. We are. And we're valuable and we have a lot to offer. And we're here to tell that story.
Teresa, thank you so much for your leadership and your authentic leadership, your willingness to disclose, and also for the changes that you've are making. They're effective. We got about 30 seconds for a response on a follow-up question, and then we need to go to Hannah, but 30 seconds or so. When you think about those partners, how do you see the potential value of the ENs in provision of services? That video number 3 I can envision includes ENs, but when you think of the ENs in your model, describe what that looks like.
They're the ones who make it happen. They're the ones who are helping us to tell the story and making it possible, because they are the gap and the bridge between us and the community. That's who they are.
Excellent. And so you're able to raise that voice inside of Illinois government, but also to bring it to employers. And of course, without employers, none of this is possible. So I appreciate you bringing that up as well. All right. I mentioned Hannah. Hannah's been patient during our panel here, but now let's shift over to Hannah with RAMP as a ticket program manager there. Hannah, a couple of questions for you. First, what was your relationship with Illinois VR prior to 2024, and recalling back to Teresa's presentation, that's when she got engaged. And what have you done in the past year to help evolve that?
Yeah, thank you, Derek. So we are a Center for Independent Living, or CIL, based in Northern Illinois. And outside of the core services we offer as a CIL, we offer quite a few additional services, one being our employment services. So we've got our ticket to work that, you know, I work in. But separately, we've partnered with the state VR in several different ways as a vendor or contractor. So for the past 10 plus years, we've been a community rehabilitation vendor. We've got a contract to provide pre-employment transition services. We've got 3 project search sites that we partner with the state on, 2 in healthcare settings, 1 in a hotel hospitality setting. And then we're rolling out a new program in partnership with DOORS, or DRS, called Pathways to Partnership. So as a result, we've worked really closely with several of our local DOORS offices, counselors, office coordinators, to provide all of these different services, whether it's pre-employment or job placement services, for many, many years. We also have provided assistance when someone's maybe navigating that referral process, making sure they can get through that smoothly, or helping with advocacy to make sure that they end up with the right type of vendor throughout that referral process. With all that said, we frequently have staff attending various statewide trainings hosted by VR or DOORS. We're attending those collaboration calls. We're attending our quarterly office meetings, and regularly engaging with meet and greets with the new counselors, office staff, coordinators, and things like that to really maintain that relationship. Internally, we've always wanted to create some sort of pipeline for those VR customers to have a place to land after successful case closure, whether it's from those youth leading into adult VR services or by educating them on ticket to work services and making that informed choice to be able to continue to access services following case closure. We really wanted to find a way then to bring that outside of what we already are doing. So really, how can we connect the dots of all those different programs to what we're doing in our EN services? So going back all the way to summer of 2019, we actually traveled down into Chicago and met with the director of DRS, Ronnie Patrick. But things kind of got put on hold with that conversation during the pandemic. So fast forward to early 2024, we had invited Director Patrick to attend one of our project search graduations and were able to re-engage in that conversation. Mid-late 2024, quite a few of the Illinois-based ENs and the director were able to gather during a conference in Kansas City and really kickstart those conversations on how can we provide more services to those VR customers as they exit successfully from the VR program. So we began meeting monthly in addition to those quarterly partner calls that TPM hosts to really see how can we reach and how can we engage those. A large focus, as mentioned by Teresa, has been on increasing access to benefit counseling services to those Illinois residents. So those conversations have continued for the past year, and we've really gotten good headway on making that relationship much deeper between VR and all the ENs across Illinois. We're really looking forward to how we can continue to increase those relationships. And as Teresa mentioned, as of June, we're excited to say we are now also one of the vendors for those benefits counseling services. We can add that to our list of vendor and contract agreements that we have. A lot of this also wouldn't have been able to get as far as we have in the past year without a lot of the relationships we've built with VRs, Andeans, and other states who have provided us a lot of guidance and really good information on how their states got to where they're at.
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up. Well, you're connecting the dots in so many ways, I'm losing track of all the dots. But you mentioned as a Center for Independent Living, a vendor, and participating with the state, now benefits vendor. You also threw in Project Search, which we see a lot of success there, and the way to invite a high-level government official to an event like that. This network that you have has created a web of support services that are helping people find employment. So I love that. What would you try to do this in about 30 seconds? Good luck. What would you recommend to someone else at another EN in another state? Like if they were back, a year or two, what would you recommend as a couple first steps if they wanted to head in the direction that you've done?
Yeah. So a lot of it just comes from looking for those opportunities to connect or cold call the office and introduce yourself. If there's a way you can create that channel to be a reoccurring connection, that way you're not losing, relationships, ask questions, seek clarification. A big thing that you can also do is if you see maybe a problem, come with a solution or a proposal for an answer. And I think like Teresa mentioned earlier, I'm very persistent. So don't give up. Just keep, looking for different ways to engage and look for ways you can engage them back. Those invitations or inviting them to a seat at your table are just as valuable to asking for a seat at theirs.
Excellent. I love it. Keep showing up. And then at time, the right openings occur at the right time. Now, I do have a final question for our panelists. However, what I'm going to do is hold that and bring it in to wrap up our Q&A session, because I want to make sure we get to the audience's questions and we have a couple other things to achieve. So at this time, what I'd like to do is thank the panelists. We'll have you back in a few minutes. I'm going to go through a couple slides on some Partnership Plus activity data, and then we'll have you back for that audience Q&A. So if we can switch back to the deck, please. Thanks so much, Alicia. And go to our next slide. So when we think of Partnership Plus activity data, what is happening? And we thought, along, of course, with our colleagues at Social Security, sharing some of this would help inform kind of a data-driven decision to reinforce what our colleagues in Pennsylvania and Illinois are actually doing. Some good minds on our team reviewed 11 years of Partnership Plus activity data, looking at 2013 to 2024. Yes, it was the regs kind of changed in 2008, but it took a little while to gain some implementation speed. So in that analysis of the numbers of tickets transitioning from state VRs to ENs within those 90 days of case closures, there was 5,584 tickets that transitioned to 434 active ENs. So this gives a frame of reference there of the activity level. And then inside of that, we identified 15 states and 15 ENs with the highest frequency rate of those. And the common characteristics of the 15 VRs and 15 ENs were kind of analyzed there. And this is where we get into some of the, I think, the learnings that are most meaningful. Next slide, please. When we look at those state VR characteristics, remember we looked at 15 ENs and 15 VRs. Let's look at the 15 VR agency characteristics first. 15 states with the highest percentage of tickets assigned to those ENs, and those characteristics are listed here. 12 of the 15, or 80%, have or had a written Partnership Plus agreement. So 80% did have what you would call a formal agreement in place. Then 10 of 15, or 67%, purchase benefits counseling services from vendors. And that could include an EN or it could include another vendor. But 67% were purchasing benefits counseling. And 7 of the 15 just about half, hosted regular partnership collaboration meetings. We heard those a couple times, Jennifer and Teresa talking about collaboration meetings, or specifically state ticket coordinators collaborating with the ticket program manager and bringing in other key employment partners in that work. So there's three key characteristics of VR agencies that are successfully participating in Partnership Plus. Let's go to the next slide, please. When we look at those 15 EN characteristics, the EN size ranged from small to large. And what do we mean by that? Small being 15 ticket assignments, and then large being 2,214. So a range there in activity level for sure. Inside of that, we were able to then identify the key characteristics. 86% of those 15 had four characteristics. They had vendor contracts with their state VR agency, similar to some of the discussions we've been having. They had certified benefits counseling on staff, similar to the discussion we've been having. And then they had multiple sources of funding, and you could call that braided funding, where they were looking at a variety of opportunities to support their business, not just a single stream of revenue per se. And then the fourth one there is high outcome payment percentages. So these payment percentages on the outcome side were 70 to 94%. So four key organizational characteristics worth noting. And last, four of the 15, while it's a minor percent, they were either administrative ENs or have a traditional and administrative EN model. So that's, you know, rising up to about a third, having multiple models or participating as an administrative EN, something to note. So we had key VR characteristics and key EN characteristics that we wanted to share, really thinking that it reinforces the exact work that we hear coming out of Pennsylvania and Illinois, and knowing that in the past, these were the most successful Partnership Plus characteristics that we had. Next slide, please. So with that, I wanted to make sure we shared that data because it reinforces some of the work they do. But now we'll go into our audience Q&A. And as you have been, we encourage you to submit your questions into chat or use the raise your hand feature. If we could go to the next slide. Just a reminder, in order to participate in the audience Q&A, feel free to ask your questions using chat. If you have joined us via telephone and wish to participate, we do have a two-step process. Press star 5 to raise your hand, and we will then have a team member unmute your phone. At that point, you will need to press star 6. So star 5, star 6 if you're on a telephone, then you'll be able to speak. If joining via Teams and you wish to ask your question aloud, we have that feature. Use the raise your hand option at the top of the menu, and then we will call on you and unmute your mic so then you can participate. We encourage you to state your first name, your EN name, or if you're with us from a VR, your VR name, and ask your question. Please do limit your questions to one participant so we can get to as many as possible. If you prefer, you can also send questions to us at enoperations@ssa.gov. And all of this information has also been shared in chat. With that, I'd like to invite our panelists back, and the three of you can please turn on your video and have Teresa come back as well, and we'll drop the slides for our Q&A with our panel. So I'll be working with two teammates here, Anna and Catherine, and let's start with Anna. Anna, I know we've had some items in chat. If you're able to go backwards and bring up some of our participants, that would be great.
Sure. We had a question for Teresa and Jennifer. We have a national EN that is interested in sign up a Partnership Plus agreement with them for the VR program. So she's asking how can they do that. And I'm sure other ENs may have that question if they are interested in joining your Partnership Plus agreement. So how can they do that?
Thank you, Anna. Go ahead, Teresa.
This is Teresa. I'm going to go ahead and put my email in the chat box, and you can reach me that way.
Appreciate that offering there. So if you're a national EN or anyone else that wanted to reach out to Teresa to talk about relationships with the state of Illinois or her content today, she's going to be kind enough to share that and has done so. Teresa.Rodriguez3@illinois.gov is in the chat. I know we had Jennifer with us. I'll just confirm with our production team. Has Jennifer disconnected?
Yes. We lose her, I think.
Okay. Well, we'll be working on getting Jennifer back, of course. Another way to connect with these individuals is if you'd like, send us that same question at enoperations@ssa.gov. We'll be able to loop in Jennifer for her perspective on how to connect. It is possible, though, for a national EN to have partnership plus arrangements with a variety of states, not just the state that you're based in. That can also go for a regional EN. So we encourage you to consider reaching out to these leaders that we have with us today, but also consider other states too. Anna, let's go back to you for a second question, please.
So I see that these questions are for Jennifer, but I do have, while we wait for Jennifer to come back, I have a question for Social Security, Erin in particular. What accountability measures does SSA implement when VR agencies fail to meet timely handoff obligations under executed partnership agreements? And what are the specific consequences for noncompliance?
Okay, can you guys hear me?
Yes.
We can.
Okay, perfect. I just wanted to confirm because I was not part of the check in the beginning. Okay, so while SSA does require that you send the Partnership Plus agreements that you have in place, we do that so that we can confirm that you have a valid agreement and we can add that Partnership Plus badge to the Find Help tool on your profile. SSA doesn't regulate or monitor Partnership Plus agreements. Those agreements are between the VR and the EN. So we would recommend if you are having issues with timely handoffs or any other particular aspect of that agreement, that you would bring that issue to management, either VR manager, EN management, depending on, you know, who it is that's experiencing the issue, or, you know, follow any kind of dispute regulation guidelines that are part of that agreement, you know, if that is included in those agreements.
Thank you so much, Erin, for that. So again, bring that to the attention. You can do that through the EN service email, and Social Security will certainly be able to follow up. Anna, we'll come back to you for another question. In the meantime, if you'd like to ask your question aloud and you're with us, we do have three of our four panelists work with us, and we're working to get Jennifer back. But Anna, another question from chat, please.
Molly O'Brien from Massachusetts Blind VR, I believe. She would like to know if there are any VR blind agencies on the call that have insight into Partnership Plus.
So that would be an opportunity for someone to identify that. I'd like to go to our three panelists and ask them, do you have any experience in working inside of your state with your state blind VR agency? We'll start with Teresa. Teresa, when you consider kind of the model that you're building of connecting the dots in Illinois, what's your state model like there? I believe Teresa is muted. If we could unmute Teresa.
My apologies.
There you go. Thank you.
We do have three schools for the blind. We have blind services within the Department of Rehab Services. So we have extensive services for the blind. We have one of my staff is a coordinator, a statewide coordinator, for blind services and also for the blind and hard of hearing. So we, if there are certain needs that have to be met for the entire state, she also assists in making sure that she advocates in behalf of the teachers, in behalf of the counselors, and in behalf of the clients. So everything does get put through in terms of what needs to happen legislatively. She also looks at performing analyses that will impact the programs, that would impact the students. So there's a lot of things that happen. The VR counselors do work with her to provide that service. So it still runs the same kind of operation. And depending on the needs of the students, it all runs through the same mechanism. So, you know, basically they do refer the clients there, and then they do go to the schools if they need to be placed for the training, in terms of either whether they're going to go to one of our schools that they'd like to go to. If they want to go on to advanced education, we will pay for their tuition too. So it does run the gamut. We do provide a lot of services to people in need. We provide services for assistance if they're hard of hearing. We provide interpreters. So there's a lot of services that we provide.
Thank you so much, Drayson. Hannah, from your Center for Independent Living RAMPS perspective, when you have this question, when you're connecting with kind of blind services or the blind and low vision community, anything in particular that you would call out about your continuum of support services and anything tailored for this community?
Yeah, so just like we would receive a referral from our local offices, if there's a referral for someone who resides in the counties that we provide our VR services for, that would come down through Bureau of Blind Services or BBS, we would work with them just the same. We do also obviously rely on BBS then to potentially help with any accessibility or orientation trainings or things like that, just to help promote continued success with those. So, and kind of in terms of our pipeline, it's a counselor providing a referral to us, so it's going to look pretty much the same.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Appreciate that. Now, it's my understanding, we've seen Jennifer Raddick comment in chat, and I believe she might be back with us. We're trying to determine that.
That is correct.
Can you see me now? I think so. My camera's not turning on, though, now. Keeps flickering. Can you hear me, though, at least, Derek?
We can hear you very clearly.
All right, thank you.
Well, what's interesting, Jennifer, is we got you back, and now we have Teresa's camera.
My electricity went out, and then that affected my router and my VPN, and I have no idea. But I can hear you, so thank you. Sorry.
Let's have Anna repeat the question for you, just to make sure that you have the question. Anna, can you repeat the question for Jennifer, please?
Sure. We have a national EN that is interested in partnering with you. So they were wondering how they can approach or what to do in that sense to join your Partnership Plus agreement in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, I mean, can I put my email in the box and they can email me? So if that's okay. They can email me and we could set up a call and talk to them about our Partnership Plus agreement and, you know, how we break it down. But absolutely. I'm going to do that now.
Thank you, Jennifer.
And also, a couple of individuals mentioned that they would like to see the flyer that you commented during your presentation, if you can share it.
So I just want to double check that we can, but I would imagine that we can. But I will. And if so, I will get it to you guys and you can disseminate. That's okay?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you. And Jennifer has put her email, jraddick, RADICK, at pa.gov. So thank you for sharing that. We also had one other question that was focused around blind services in the state. And what does that look like when it comes to Partnership Plus or the continuum of services? So in Pennsylvania, first with Jennifer again, anything to note there in creating a relationship with a blind and low vision service organization?
Well, we have providers that are providers that provide services to individuals who are blind and low vision, and so they can themselves also become an employment network. We partner with lots of different agencies, so we also so we provide services. We have 21 offices. 15 of them are general offices, and 5 of them are blind offices, you know, that provide services. So we have VRC specifically providing services to those cases. So, and we, that falls under us as a whole agency, PAOVR. So if that is sort of what you're asking. And I also just want to use this opportunity to say that we can share the flyer. So I will get that to you. So before I forget.
Excellent. Thank you. It seems like there's a lot of folks that are interested. We'll work with Social Security to include that as our with our follow-up information, like the slide deck and the recap, et cetera. Karen, in your work at AHEAD, when you think of blind services agency and the blind community in general, doesn't AHEAD look at this as an EN for the continuum of services? Anything you'd like to call out about what you do?
We do get referrals from blind and visual services with VR. And kind of like Hannah had said, we treat them the same. So we're providing employment services as a vendor for VR, and then again, targeting who would be candidates for Ticket to Work and signing them up at closure. So a lot of it's the same process as any referral. Mm-hmm.
And it would be Super. The same, yeah, so I was going to say, it would be the same process for us as well in terms of us being all under one umbrella for PAVR. So thanks for bringing that up, Karen.
Okay, and now I'm going to go to another question. It came up in a couple of different ways in presentation and a couple of questions. Specifically, when you consider training and certification for benefits counseling, can you describe, you know, there's different kind of approved benefits counseling training for ENs that are out there. Teresa, anything that you want to describe where this training is? We have VCU, Cornell, and Indiana as training providers. Describe specifically the type of counseling training that you're looking at, and it sounds like building a groundswell for.
Yes, we're going through, we have a partnership with the University Commonwealth of Virginia. It's for CWIC or CPWIC. However, there have been agencies, the ENs, that have already gone through Carnegie Mellon. So we're accepting both, and yep. It's CWIC and CPWIC. So if they've done the training and had the training through Carnegie Mellon, we are accepting that as well.
Excellent. Thank you. And same question to you, Jennifer.
Yeah, so we accept providers who have gone through VCU, so either they are CWIC or CPWIC, so some have, you know, were a WIPA and then kind of came to a community agency, and then also Cornell, so the WIPC. So that is, and we also, when a provider is being, you know, submitting a provider agreement, they are expected to submit those credentials plus a resume, and then also when a provider is accepted and approved as a benefits planning provider, if they have new staff, then we also have an addendum so that they make sure that new staff is being approved also, so that we at VR can confirm, you know, that this person has their credentials. So when we are making referrals, we know that service is being done always by somebody that has one of our approved credentials.
Excellent. Thank you both for those answers. All right. And now we have to move to wrap up as we have 2 minutes left. But I want to bring in our final question for you each from before. And you're going to have to somehow do this in like 30 to 45 seconds each, which I know you won't like. But when you think of where you're at and what success can look like, the next vision, what is that? And let's stick with Jennifer, and then we'll go to Karen, kind of in Pennsylvania, your perspective. What does the next good look like for you, Jennifer?
Yeah, thanks. 30 seconds, go. So as I mentioned previously, our mission is to assist Pennsylvanians with disabilities to secure and maintain employment and independence. And the results of this mission are successes in competitive integrated work for people with disabilities. And also with our dual customer model, providing those qualified applicants and employees to our other customers, the businesses. So to me, success looks like communication, collaboration, and opportunity. Opportunity met. So there's just so much opportunity here for us to work together on behalf of people with disabilities and their goal of competitive integrated employment and self-sufficiency. And with that goal, we can work together to assist more and more people with disabilities in employment. So I think that's what success looks like for us.
I love it. An opportunity and an opportunity met. Thank you so much for your leadership and those suggestions. Karen, over to you. What does success look like?
Sure. So we've had this written agreement with Pennsylvania OVR for over a year. And success is just increasing the enrollments that we get enrolled in Ticket to Work. And we do that through training our staff on, making good, targeting the OVR referrals who will qualify for Ticket to Work, and working with the VR counselors, to promote our services.
Excellent. And downstream, that will help more ticket holders find employment and hopefully financial self-sufficiency as well. Thank you, Karen, for your work at AHEAD. And to Teresa over in Illinois, again, 30 seconds. What does success look like for you?
Success looks like the ability to actually help the client meet their goals of becoming self-sufficient, gaining gainful employment, walking away each day knowing that you've done the best that you can for the best of the employee, for the best of the client, and feeling that we can hold ourselves up as a role model for ourselves and for others.
Thanks for your leadership and voice in Illinois, but also here in the nation. It's a refreshing, and we appreciate what you're doing for the collaboration model there. Speaking of collaboration, one of those collaborators is Hannah with RAMP. RAMP, what does success look like for RAMP when you think of collaboration and partnership plus?
Yeah, I'm just looking forward to more and more customers of VR and residents of Illinois knowing about their options, whether it's services through VR or successful closure and what can happen thereafter. So more informed choice and consumer-driven employment services.
Love it, Hannah. Thank you so much for the work you're doing at your SIL and for being with us today. With that, let's bring up the slide. I have some closing remarks and we'll be done in just under a minute here. Well, first, some resources. How Partnership Plus Works, a flow chart that if you are not familiar with, we'd encourage you to check out. We also have that fact sheet I mentioned earlier, working with an EN after VR services have ended. This could be used to increase awareness. And if you haven't checked it out, our EN Foundation's training module, module number 9, is on Partnership Plus Collaboration. It gets into the basics that we covered today, talks about roles and the benefits of participation, but also how to position your EN to partner with the state VR agency and perhaps create a collaboration like we've heard from Pennsylvania and Illinois today. Next slide, please. I would like to thank our panelists, Jennifer, Karen, Teresa, and Hannah. Not only did we learn about the work that they're doing in their states, but we heard about how they collaborate and communicate in ways that are kind of on the fringes that are making a difference. And when that difference has an impact, it means financial self-sufficiency for ticket holders and beneficiaries. And we appreciate your leadership and time in prepping and delivering today's session. And with that, we'll go to our final slide, please. We have some upcoming events. July 23rd, we have a WISE webinar, Ticket to Work and Reasonable Accommodations. We've been sending out awareness information and ask you to share that with your communities as well. This is a popular one, and registrations are running fast right now. August 5th, we'll have our next All-EN Payments call. Put that on your calendar. Another WISE webinar on August 27th, and then our quarterly All-EN call is scheduled for September 16th. You can check out all of these at your Ticket to Work under the training and events calendar of events. And as always, on behalf of the Social Security Administration and the Ticket Program Manager, we thank you for the work you do to support ticket holders and beneficiaries as they seek financial self-sufficiency. If you have any feedback or ideas for future sessions, please email the EN Development and Training Department at enoperations@ssa.gov. Thank you again. Be safe. This ends today's EN Essentials.